Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back, everybody, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 94 for August the 4th, 2015. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm going to help guide you through this magical world of networks, connectivity, servers, switches, and all things that we deal with each and every day. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Check out all the great tech shows at techpodcast.com. We're also syndicated, as you know, across Stitcher.com. That's S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.com, where you can pick up these shows and many others. Download their app for your smartphone today, either iOS or Android. Please check out our website if you have a chance, and I hope you do have that opportunity to go over to tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on these shows. You can also leave me a voice message at 724-701-0550. Once again, that's 724-701-0550. Now, if you're one of those folks out there to say, Jack, I'm kind of scared to leave you a voice message because I don't want anybody to hear my voice because I might sound like this and I don't want anybody to know. That's okay because we have many ways to get in touch with the show here. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, you can just email me. Email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. Once again, that's jackstechcorner@gmail.com. And follow me on Twitter and as @technoman. Now, I know I haven't been with you each and every week there. We've had some audio problems here. I actually lost my compressor limiter gate. And listening to this audio already, I think I'll be maybe purchasing a new one or playing a little bit with the preamp that I have set up here. I also have a 286S microphone preamp and processor, which essentially does the same thing, I know, as the limiter gate. But I like having them together because it gives it a better bassy, boosty sound, I guess, here on the audio. So that's one thing I've been fighting with here, trying to decide what to do as much as other obligations that you have. And everybody knows this time of year, when you work for a school, you're very, very busy. We've been extremely busy at school. And that is kind of what's leading into tonight's show. Because we've been trying to do something at work, and maybe you've been trying to do it already also at work, and maybe you're not getting any leeway like we have not been getting any leeway. So let's just start opening by talking a little bit about the release of Windows 10. Now, many of you out there know that Windows 10 has been released. It was released actually last week, and you know, I watched the TV commercials already, said it's the easiest, fastest, best Windows ever. Well, that may be the case, and I can't tell you one way or the other if that is the case, but what I can tell you is this, is that it's extremely difficult to load. It's extremely difficult to upgrade an older computer, as it always has been through the days of time. You know, anytime there's a new version of Windows that comes out, I tell people, if you buy the new version of Windows on a PC that was designed for it or that it was pre-installed on, chances are it may be the best, the latest, the greatest, and best Windows out there. But when you try to upgrade a PC, and even a newer PC, the PCs that we're trying to upgrade are only 2 years old. And we were attempting, or we were looking into, hey, let's go ahead and upgrade these computers to Windows 10 because our students need to see the latest and greatest and best. They need to work with that. The reason I believe in that is maybe not so much for you folks in business, and maybe it would work for you in business, and I'm going to explain that. But in education, we try to get the kids to the point where they are seeing the newest technology, because chances are when they leave and go to college, they're going to buy a laptop or they're going to buy a desktop, and it's going to have this new technology on there. So why not get them accustomed to it already and get them ready to go with that new technology? So my work partner decided that he was going to reformat his office computer. And, you know, I told you guys a long time ago, we don't really set up test machines. We're not into setting up test computers And we're not one of those people that, you know, maybe we should test it out, make sure it works with all your applications before you use it. So he thought he's going to roll it out on his desktop PC, the one that he uses every day to manage the network, to manage our virtual machines. We use a program called Governland to manage our remote desktops and provide our users with support remotely throughout the district. So there is a big problem with Windows 10, folks. It's just very, very difficult to upgrade. And I know I've done an interview on this show some time ago with some folks from Microsoft, and we talked about the new server versions coming out. We talked about the end-of-life support for Server 2003, and we went over all that. But, you know, and even then, they said don't ever inline an upgrade for Server. You know, for servers, you should set up a new server and then do a migration. And the first thing that happened with him when he tried to upgrade using the upgrade tool on Windows, and if you haven't seen that, there is a little icon that comes down by the system tray. When you click on that, you can click on, you know, download my upgrade to Windows 10. This is if you have Windows 7 or Windows 8.1. You can actually download it for free and upgrade your computer. Fantastic. That's a wonderful, wonderful push by Microsoft to get everybody on the same version. Because Microsoft for years have been under the gun, I guess, and behind the eight ball. In that, you know, I'm sure there's still home users out there using Windows XP. I know my daughter has it on her laptop. She uses it every single day. Now, would you do that in business? Probably not. But I know many school districts out there still using Windows XP, and they said they're going to use it until it quits working. So good luck to them anyway about not getting any intruders or viruses on their computers. But Windows 10, so let me walk you through this. So he finally finds a tool that allows him to inline or directly download this Windows update. And it says, do you want to update your computer over the internet? And he said, sure. That seems like a really realistic, good idea. And it seems like it would be a really easy way to do it. So he starts the upgrade. So the upgrade gets to about 52%. And it held at 52% for an entire day. We came back in the office the following day. His computer still said 52%. So obviously, either Microsoft servers were getting hit very, very hard, which that's a possibility, or something in the computer, some driver it needed, or something just locked up and said, look, I can't do this. So then he decided to go another route. The secondary route you can go is you can download the ISO. Now, when you download the ISO image, you can burn onto a DVD. It does fit. You don't need a double-sided DVD or anything. And he's going to do a fresh install, just like you would any new computer or any computer, you know, where you wipe the hard drive and do a fresh install. So he does this. He does a fresh install. He gets to the point of the install where it says, you know, you could either retain your files or you can wipe your files. Well, he said no, he's going to retain them. So now, once he got the computer loaded up with Windows 10, he reboots the computer and comes up. Well, all of his files that he had on his computer were gone. So that little tidbit of information right there, put that in the back of your mind. If you're going to upgrade your Windows 7 or 8.1 to Windows 10 and you want to retain your files, you better either back them up or put them on an external hard drive or a flash drive or whatever you have that's going to hold your files, because it's going to quite possibly and probably almost definitely wipe those files out, so they'll be gone. So the next thing he does is he starts to download all of his drivers. Now, both of us have three monitors on our desk hooked to one PC. It allows us to very easily manage our computers. It allows us to do local work. We can work on our servers. We can have remote desktops open. We can be helping folks with their desktop computers and do that all very simply with three monitors. So this is a big push now. So he starts to download all the software, starts to install the software. He finds the video card driver somewhere. To this day, I don't know what he used, but it worked. It may have been a Windows 7 driver. And that Windows 7 driver apparently worked very, very well, because all of his monitors came up. He was able to align the monitors, you know, set them up 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 1, make his primary monitor the center monitor like both of us have. And then the left and the right monitor are the accessory monitors, so you can do work on other folks' computers or the servers. So he gets this all set up, and everything seems to be going very, very well. By the end of that day, he goes home, and the next morning he comes in, and now my work partner shuts his computer off at night. I don't believe in that. I leave my computer on so I can remotely access it from home if I need to do something at work. And I can get on that computer from home, and I can do work here. I can update databases or whatever in the evening. But he tends to like to shut his computer off. So he shuts his computer off. The next morning he comes in, he reboots it, and I said, "Hey, how's your computer running?" He said, "Well, it would be running okay, but it just happened to blue screen." For no unknown reason, folks, it was working perfectly. He showed me. He walked through it. He showed me the menus. He said, "Jack, I really love this computer. You know, I really love this operating system. It looks nice. It runs very fast. It's responsive." And then the next morning, for no reason whatsoever, it blue screens. So that leads us to the next part. He goes, "Well, this blue screened. I lost all my files. I'm kind of behind the eight ball now." And when I told him, and I normally do, and I don't know why I didn't tell him beforehand, when I'm playing with a new operating system, what I'll do, and this is maybe what you should do if you're going to try this, get yourself an extra hard drive. Disconnect your primary drive in your computer tower and load up a second, a secondary drive. So load a secondary drive up and load all the new stuff on that drive. Once you get it all set up, you can just simply plug your other drive in as a secondary drive and have all your files. That way he wouldn't have lost anything. He said, "Well, why didn't you tell me that yesterday?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I would have told you that yesterday, but I didn't even think about it because that's what I do." So he said, "Well, maybe the hard drive was bad anyway because he's been having some issues with his computer slowing down a lot of data access, read-write access to the hard drive." So he decides that he's going to go ahead and put a new hard drive in the computer. So I told him, we have them. Throw one in there. Let's see what happens. Now, the reason we were doing this extensive testing, as you may say, we were doing this because we want to upgrade the student computers. We want to know how to load Windows 10. We want to know if we can image Windows 10 with our imaging software. And we want to be able to put this on, some desktop PCs throughout the school so the students will have a little bit of access to something new, something fresh this year. So he puts a new hard drive in. He loads it up. And at that point, that was about Thursday of last week. Friday and Monday, he was off. So Friday, I came to work, and I looked at his computer and said, "Hit next, hit next, hit next." I did that. And it was rebooting and doing something. Well, I had a lot of work to do, so I just left it. And I figured that's his baby. That's his project. He's learning about it to help both of us. So I left it. He came in today. Tuesday was his first day back. And I said, "Well, hey, how's that computer going?" He goes, "Well, it looks pretty good, actually. You got the drivers loaded." He started loading up some software on a computer. He went to load vSphere. Now, if you're not familiar with vSphere, vSphere is the VM software for your desktop. Okay, it's a client that allows you to connect into the virtual servers, through a program. So he goes to load vSphere up, and every time he clicks the install, it just disappears. And I said, "Look, you're smarter than this, and I know you can figure it out." So I said, I went to do some work that I was working on, imaging some CAD computers, and I went to work on those computers, and I came back, and I said, "Well, how's it going?" He said, "Well, good." He said, "I did some Google searches, and I found that you needed to load the runtimes, so he needed to load some Visual Studio runtimes on his computer, or some .NET runtimes. And then he went to load the software, and everything loaded fine. So he got that working. He got Governland working fine on the computer. So everything up to this point is working extremely well. But it wasn't an easy process. Microsoft is making this where you click an icon to upgrade your computer. You walk away, come back a couple hours later, and everything's fine and good to go. And, and I don't mean to compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges, but Apple or the Mac operating system, I've upgraded mine a lot of times. I've inlined upgraded through the App Store. It's worked. Now, a lot of times the software that you have on the computer may not run any longer because they have to rewrite their software to be up with the new operating system. And I've completely wiped my computer many times and loaded the new software. Right now I'm running the Yosemite, which is the latest version of their software. So that's what I'm currently running, and it runs absolutely fine. So installing it is not as easy as Windows 10 as what Microsoft will lead you to believe. So be very cautious out there. If you are working with you know, some offices or somebody says something about Windows 10, you might want to lead them to the path of righteousness and stick with Windows 7. Because you know as well as I do, if you've been in this business for any length of time, when there's a Windows version that comes out, you have to kind of wait for the first service pack to come out. Now, they're saying Windows 10 is going to be the last Windows ever created. There will never be a Windows 11, Windows 12, Windows 13. They're going to be now on the par with the Mac operating system. And I hope they can get their stuff together and maybe do this through their, you know, through their online store, whatever that's called, Microsoft's online store, where you can click a button and click inline upgrade, pow, everything works. But it's not always that way. And the reason those two differences exist is, and believe me, folks, I love Microsoft. I love Windows. I told you, that's what I do for a living. But I also truly, truly love my Mac operating system. You know, once it took me a while to get used to it, but I just did 20 Macs at work. I've gotten very, let's say, intimate with them, where I understand how to image them, how to pull images, how to image even the boot camp sector. That's what I was doing for the past 2 days. I was imaging computers, but I was imaging the Windows side for CAD. So, but the thing that I like about Macs is when they come out with an upgrade, they say this, simply this. If your computer is pre-2010, don't run this upgrade. It's not going to work properly for you. Microsoft doesn't have that kind of control and command over the computers. So what's happening is a lot of folks out there will have a computer at home. Maybe they bought it in 1995, and maybe they've been putting the upgrades on. It's been doing okay. It's a little sluggish because it has a gig of RAM and 250 gig hard drive, so it's running a little sluggish. But what happens is, overall, in the end, they try to upgrade a very old computer, and they have a very bad experience. So Microsoft in lends itself to producing this bad experience to people. And when you do that, people get a bad taste in their mouth. And that's when they run to Apple and say, look, I'm going to buy an Apple because it's just a computer I need to have just to do what I want to do. You know, and these people on the outside of the fence that says, look, Jack, Apples and Macs are okay for home users. They're nice for creation, but they're not nice for running businesses. That's just a bunch of bull crap because it's not true. You know, and if you've been in this business any time, you probably use both Macs and Windows. You may be even a little bit adventurous, and you may use some Linux. And we've used some Linux around the office. I tried putting that on my desktop PC before, Ubuntu Linux. And I tried running that on my desktop and managing my servers, and I can. But there's just certain proprietary software that we can't use on a Linux box. And it's also proprietary that it won't run on a Mac. Like Governland, I told you about earlier, that we use. It doesn't run on a Mac. I mean, I have a Mac on my desk. I use that to control and command the other Macs on my network. And it works very, very well every day. It never slows down, never gives me any issues. But then to say, I do both. So don't look at me and don't say, look, I can't listen to Jack's show anymore because this is a bunch of crap. He uses Macs. That's an Apple guy. That's not true. But if you're in this business and you are a technician of any sort or a network administrator, especially if you're going to be an administrator in education, you better start getting well-rounded. And well-rounded, I don't mean eat a bunch of hamburgers and drink a bunch of milkshakes and weigh 400 pounds. Well-rounded, I mean, you know, learn about the Macs. You don't have to spend a whole lot of time with Linux unless you're going to run that on one of your servers, which one of our school districts do. They run all their servers are all Linux-based, and the guy loves it. He understands it. Me, not so much. I mean, that's just not my cup of tea. But you got to learn about iPads. You got to know the iPads and how those work. So that's just a little bit of the background of this great business that we're in. I once had an intern that came in with me one time. He went to school for 2 years. It was an associate's program. He was about ready to get his degree. And he said, Look, Jack, I know everything there is to know about computers and servers, and I'll be good the rest of my life. I'll never have to learn this crap again. And I said, well, buddy, I said, this is what you do. Pack up your little toolkit there, put it in your car, preferably in your trunk, run over to the local fast food restaurant somewhere and get yourself a job flipping burgers and making fries. Because that way you never, ever, ever have to worry about again about learning something new. Because when you make hamburgers and fries, you're going to make them the same today as you do 20 years from now. It's the exact same technology. You put the fries in the grease, put the hamburgers on the grill, right? When you're in this business, folks, you got to learn every single day. It's something new all the time. And that's why I set up those courses that you hear me talk about at the end of the show all the time, where you can learn Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012 R2, and VMware ESXi from install to administration. I teach you everything about that. But what's nice about those is once you take those courses that I provide, they're not set up where once you're done, I say, well, so long, now you know everything you need to know. That's not true. One day you're going to go to step back to directory and go, oh man, what did I learn 3 years ago in Jack's course? How did I do this or how did I do that? And it's going to come to you that you can log back on the course, simply go back in and watch those videos again and relearn that, re-educate yourself because you need it that certain day. And that's why I set these courses up. I've taken a lot of courses where they said, look, you have 6 months to complete it. Once you're done, we will see you, take your money, and we'll never talk to you again. And I've paid thousands of dollars for those courses. You know, my courses are $250, $250, not very much money compared to colleges out there. And it's going to give you that same type, look, and feel of a course. You watch a video, you take a quiz. So it's very, very easy to do. And if you're asking yourself, boy, that sounds pretty good, Jack. Where can I find that? Well, if you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com, that's tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Click the little online class link at the top of the page, and all the courses are right there. You can sign up for them. When you sign up today, you start today. Sign up at 2 in the morning, start at 2 in the morning. It's very much on your time. It's set up to your schedule. So anyway, the total Windows 10 thing we were talking about, just to throw that in there again, is right now it's working. Maybe next Tuesday I'll be able to report and tell you if it's still working. If he does get it working, I do like the operating system. I love the interface. I like the interactions with the interface, the way it looks. He put it on the domain, so I know it's going to work with our servers. And I don't believe our servers are going to be able to control that because you know there's going to be a lot of new group policies coming out. I would hope that they update Windows Server 2012 since it's so new and give us those new policies for free, that we can manage these Windows 10 boxes and secure them and lock them down where we need to. Because in education, I always say, and believe me, look at your kids. If you have any kids in the house, look at them right now playing with that iPhone or playing with that iPad or that Android phone. They may be just a little bit smarter as they grew up than we are, and they might be able to outthink you. So you have to be able to control and manage your computers, even if you work in an office or an industry. You have to lock that computer down. One time we did a big job, real big job, for a fabricating company. And the boss said, look, the only thing these employees should be able to get to is the drafting software and the CAD programs they need for the drawings so they can do their fabrications, they can do their drawings and their schematics. So we were able to use the policy to the server to lock them down when they logged in. That was the only application that would work. I mean, we locked it down that tight. Because they don't need anything else. My wife was just having a conversation with me the other day. She said, look, Jack, I think that a lot of Americans have ADHD, which is attention deficit disorder. And I said, look, hon, I said, anybody that uses a computer has attention deficit disorder. Anybody. Because if you think about it, you know, you're doing your work, you're working at work, you're writing a memo, you're writing some documentation. You're working on a server. Next thing you know, you're looking at eBay because you thought there's something you wanted to buy, but you couldn't remember what it was. Next thing you know, you're flipping over, you're reading a newspaper online, or you're reading Facebook, or because we have so much different applications that those applications tend to make us a little bit, give us a little bit of attention deficit because we can't focus on one thing anymore because we're allowed to multitask on the computer. Back in the days of DOS, years ago. DOS was great because it was very one application specific. You'd be running one application And when that application was up, nothing else was going on. And that's why a lot of writers today still use DOS to write their books, because they're very focused that way. They don't have to, you know, think about it. When you use the typewriter, you know, when you use the typewriter outside of the person lighting a cigarette or drinking another glass of scotch to write their book or their novel, they didn't worry about, you know, opening the window, you know, playing with a deck of cards or solitaire or something. They were writing their book on a typewriter. So the same kind of thing applies today. A lot of great authors still use DOS, believe it or not, and not on newer computers, of course. They're doing it on much older computers that they've had for decades, and that's their writing computer, because they stay focused, and focus is so hard these days with everything that we have, being able to pop a window up, minimize a window, whatever. But getting back to that, Windows 10 does look very nice. The interface is really easy to navigate. We don't like some of the stuff, and we're still learning, and hopefully this computer stays up so we can learn more about getting rid of those big tiles. He did find you can resize the start menu, and it will stay that way when you click it again. So the big tiles across your screen, you can resize those over and use that. We had some student techs last year that was using the beta versions, and those kids seemed to love it. They were very intrigued by the whole desktop operating system. The one kid said he put the beta version on his laptop. That's what he was using every day. And it worked for him, and everything ran fine. So, folks, that's the big spear tonight, is learning Windows 10. It is out there. You know, you download it. It is right now. It's available for you for free. Again, if you have Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, you can download it and install on your computer. I would recommend those two key elements. Download as an ISO. Burn yourself as a DVD. Next is to back up all your files. Completely wipe your hard drive. Don't do an inline upgrade. Just wipe your hard drive and start from a fresh install. I think you're going to be so much more happier that you did it that way. So hopefully, folks, everything sounded okay tonight. The audio, like I said, without my other limiter gate, is a little flat, I think. Let me know what the audio sounds like on your end, what you think in your car there as you're riding to work compared to what it used to be. It sounds very quiet to me. I mean, the audio sounds very, very crisp, and it sounds very quiet. I got an air conditioner right behind me, and you probably can't even hear it because I can't hear it over my headphones. And with that note, we're going to tell you a couple things here, a couple housekeeping things that we got to talk about each and every week. Folks, if you want to help support this show, and I hope you do, because it helps me to buy, like I said, the new limiter gate. That's another $150 I got to out of pocket to get my audio better for you to listen to. But if you want to help me, it's very, very easy to do. Just use my Amazon link. That helps tremendously to support the show, and it helps a ton to be able to get this gear I need in here to make this studio work. So if you go to tipsfromtheserveroom.com, shut off your ad blocker. I know you use them. Deactivate it, at least for my site, and you'll see the Amazon link. Bookmark that Amazon link. Anytime you buy from Amazon, whatever you buy, use that link. A lot of you have, and I really appreciate your continued support to the show. The other way you can support the show is sign up for one of these classes. Most of these classes will be reimbursed through your employer because at the end you gain a certificate. That certificate will be mailed to you in the mail, and it's very nice for even if you're not employed. Maybe you want to send it with your resume. I recommend sending it with your resume to show people that, hey, I am continuing my education. I'm trying to learn more each and every day. So remember, if you want to learn Windows Server 2008 R2 or Windows Server 2012 R2 or VMware ESXi 5.5 from install to administration, sign up for one of these online courses. You can go to tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Look for the online class link at the top of the page. These courses are self-paced. They're also lifelong learning courses, so you'll have it for as long as you live or as long as I live. And the courses are available out there as long as somebody keeps paying for my domain. And I'll tell my wife, long after I pass, keep paying for that domain so these folks can keep getting logging into their course. You watch a video and you take a 2 or 3 question quiz. The only reason I had to do that is because to actually officially give you a certificate, we have to actually officially know that you understand the material. So once you gain, and I've never seen anybody fail this course. We've had thousands of people come through these courses already. And, you know, all you have to do is, you know, achieve an 80% or higher, you complete the course. It's very, very simple. Like I said, nobody's ever failed this course. Once you're done, you will email me your address and I will mail you a certificate in the mail. Once again, sign up for the courses today at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Folks, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and I hope you have great luck with Windows 10. And let me know. I mean, call that voice line. Give me your opinions of Windows 10, what you think about it. Is it going to be the future of Windows? I'm sure it is, because Microsoft kind of went like all in on the betting on this one and said, look, this is it. This is the last version of Windows we shall ever have. So, you know, let me hear about Windows 10, what your experiences are. Maybe you already loaded it, or maybe just drop me an email. Say, Jack, it's great, or it's a bunch of garbage. I hate it. I'll be with Windows 7 until they no longer support it. And I don't know when that'll be. Who knows when that'll ever happen. So good luck, everybody out there. And thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for downloading them. And again, thanks for supporting the show, either through the online courses. Many of you have taken the online courses, and I really appreciate that. It's great support for the show, and it's great support for you. It's a great, easy way to learn. And where else can you get a course in Windows Server for $250? Nowhere. It's just not going to happen. And also use that Amazon link for anything you buy. And I do appreciate your support and your feedback. Thanks so much, folks. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you next time on Tips from the Server Room. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.